41, book of Psalms, chapter 41. Chapter 41, I want to read this psalm tonight. There's 13 verses, and I'd like for us to read this together this evening. While you're standing, which became a practice a couple of years ago after being at camp, I do want to make mention about camp. If you have said to my wife that you would like a room this year at camp and you're not going to be able to do that, please let her know that as soon as possible, because there's always other folks who are ready to go out there for them. Speaking of the adults, teens, you don't get your own rooms. We give you your own bed. Okay? And good luck with it. So the boys will be very upset this year, Sean. The old boys' dorm has been renovated. The wind no longer blows through it. When it rains, it will no longer drip on you. So now we'll have to make the boys take showers. Good luck. Alrighty. By the way, if you look on their website, I forget what it is exactly. I think we have a link on our website to that. You can see that. They have pictures of that and other things out there. So, amen. I got to stop for one more second. Todd, have you been getting the respect you deserve? We've been really concerned. So. It's only February. Oh my! A lot of folks love to tease Todd, mostly because he loved to tease everybody else. But that was the past. This is the new Todd. All right, let's get serious. Psalm chapter number 41 says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." I said, "Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. As for me, thou holdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that we can hold in our hands this your wonderful word. Lord, you have given us this psalm. There are reasons for it. And Lord, there's applications to be made to our lives. And so, Father, I pray tonight that you would, through your precious Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Lord, we don't want to just be taught tonight truth. We want our hearts touched. Lord, we need you tonight to move upon us. And so we ask for your leadership, your guidance. Most of all, for the power and anointing of the Spirit of God. Not only the speaker, but the hearer. Lord God, get the honor from all this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When I was a young man and first saved, I heard a fellow say that as you get older, the Psalms will be more and more to you. I have found that to be a true statement. I've also found that there are a number of Psalms that are what we call messianic Psalms. In other words, they are really Psalms of prophecy concerning our Savior. This Psalm is one of those messianic Psalms, and it tells us really the story of Jesus and Judas. But I believe also that we find here that That's not exclusively the intent of this psalm. Tonight, if you are saved and you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are walking in the Spirit, you will often receive exactly what our Lord received. You will have vile return upon your kindnesses. And so we can read this with great comfort, knowing that in the end, God levels all ground. Knowing that our God evens everything out eventually. And so as we come to this wonderful psalm tonight, it is not my intent for us to really see here the implication of Christ and Judas, though I believe that is very obvious. But I also tonight, or more likely, I'd like for us to see that the Lord has something for you and I that we can apply to our own lives. It also, I believe, as we look here, becomes even more criminal for those who have labored so wonderfully for the Lord, and they fall into sin, as this man admits in this verse, and are taken advantage of without concern for their restoration. That be always the case of the enemies of God. That be the case as our Lord took upon Himself the sin of mankind, and there was really no one who cared, as they all stood around about the cross and gave Him horrible stares. But may we tonight look at this and gain some practical, wonderful help from the Spirit of God in our own hearts and lives. I want to divide this chapter up into what I believe are three or four very obvious divisions. And want us to notice verses 1, 2, and 3 and consider the mercies that God promises to you and to me. Reading verse number 1 again, it says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." We know that selfishness bears in itself a curse. We know that it is a cancer that dwells within the heart of individuals. While those who are liberal in their soul, those who are liberal in their giving of themselves and to others, have the happiness of God come upon them. They have that deliverance of the Lord. They are the ones who have, as the Bible describes, their bones made fat. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will, he said, deliver him in the time of trouble. We also notice in verse number 2 that the Lord promises preservation. God says he will keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The miser, the one who does not give of himself unto others, the one who is unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who does not, as he did, give himself for all of those who basically hated him. The miser is like the hog, is of no use until he is dead. Then let him die, and the righteous be like the ox who is available for service unto the Lord. Let them live. And I believe that God says here, the Lord will preserve those kind and keep them alive. He is the one whom God wants to bless in the work. If temporal gains be not given him, I believe that spiritual gains will be his and perhaps doubled and tripled. Many times we look and we wonder, why are we going through such adversity? Why are we in such problems? And yet God promises to you and I that there is always deliverance. It may not be in the form of financial gain, but I have learned that God wants to bless many times spiritually. God wants to give us those things that will be tremendous in our lives. Sometimes when we've been down at the bottom, bread and water seems mighty nourishing. And the very simple things of life become very, very important. And so God allows some things to take place that you and I might realize that He is the one who is there to preserve and to keep alive and to bless us here upon the earth. Verse number 3 is especially close to me as I consider back into my childhood. It says, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." God is saying to him that He will be the one who takes care of him, the bed maker in sickness. The other day I went and visited many who call her Aunt Martha.
Many of you know that Martha slipped and fell a week ago and broke her hip. And she is now, I believe, in Bethany Lutheran Home in rehabilitation. And as I went to see her and my wife was with me, we began to talk and found out that she really hadn't eaten for a number of days and would have been very sick. And she said, "I felt so embarrassed this morning because I ate just a little bit and I threw it up." She said, "Twice, and it was all over the brand new covers and blankets and the sheets that they had just put on the bed." And she felt so embarrassed. And yet there are people who are willing to what be the bed maker. That's our God. I remember those days as a young child. I was very sickly as a young child. I had all the regular diseases. That was back in the days before you had shots for the red measles. I had those. How many actually had red measles? Before they had chicken pox shots, I had chicken pox. Before you had the mumps shot, how many had mumps? All the same hands are going up. And we were sick kids, weren't we? I remember diphtheria running through our neighborhood, and my mother and my dad were so scared of that. I remember that polio was a real threat and a killer. Matter of fact, one of my best friends growing up had contracted polio as a young child. Still to this day, walks with a limp as a result of that. And I had other things. As a young child, I had kidney infection, almost died. There was a time that my mother and father rushed me to the hospital, and they said I was just black and blue all over. And about ready to die. I don't know what that one was from. And I had hepatitis as a young child. Had what was that other crazy thing that gave me heart problems? Rheumatic fever. And very sickly as a child. Anything that came along, I would get it. If there was a cold, I would get it. If there was a flu, I would get it. Didn't have flu shots. And they were around. And I remember so many times being just very, very ill. And I would be at the toilet throwing up. And my mother, she knew I was there. Matter of fact, many times would even rush me there. And reach down over. I never quite knew why. But she would hold my hand, her hand right here on my forehead. I wasn't going to let my head bob into that. But she was holding it, bringing comfort. That's our God. It's a picture I have of Him in this verse. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. And so we find here that God promises to you and I His wonderful mercies. Aren't you glad for the mercies of God? As we met in prayer tonight upstairs in what we sometimes call the upper room, what a wonderful time as folks were just thanking God for His graciousness, His mercy in their lives. But I want us to notice, because as we go to verse number 4, the scene changes somewhat, because we find here a case that is stated. After attention to being a kind person, after attention to being one who served, we find now that this one, most perfectly the Lord Jesus Christ, but often referring to those who are in Christ, after their attention to being the kind of person they need to be, we find that there is in their life a time of need, but nobody there. He said, "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me." He says, "Heal my soul. And the reason is I have sinned against Thee." He says, "The problem in my life." And he reaches out for God's mercy. This is not a self-righteous pleading. Oftentimes, when we get in prayer situations, people pray and they make comment about their sin, but never really believe they are. But here's one who says, "I have sinned against Thee." And then in verse 5, "Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish?" The enemy seems to be happy. The enemy seems to be thrilled because now this one is down and they're just waiting for him to die and be taken away. And if that does not add pain to the agony, notice what he says in verse number 6, "And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it." The enemy's happy in his predicament, but sometimes he comes with feigned concern. It is phony, it's not real. Only to use what they might learn from that encounter to heap fuel upon the fire. to take it back perhaps to others and to spread things concerning them. They become sowers of discord as they bring evil reports to their companions. Notice verse number 7. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. And here he is, one who had been a helper, one who had been at the side of others, one who was willing to show kindness, and yet as he lays in his predicament, there is no kindness being shown. The enemy is round about, and those who feign concern, it's only that they might even bring greater cause against him. It's sad to say, brethren, but far too often, God's people are these. Far too often, it is the Christian who is so harsh to his own brother. Notice what he says in verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend." I believe the implication, first of all, is to Judas, but it is to those who most likely in their self-righteousness, those who are walking in the spirit of the flesh, having no concern, mine own familiar friend whom I trusted, which did eat, he says, of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You will not have to be in the ministry. You will not have to be in the position of walking in the spirit. You will not have to be too long in this to find that there are those who are waiting for your demise. And sometimes we cry out and we wonder, why is this God? What is going on? I have worked so hard. I have sought to serve you, and yet it seems that nobody cares. Notice what he says in verse number 10. Because his prayer is made. But thou, O Lord, be merciful on me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. What he sees in this great hour of need is nothing but his own weakness and the necessity to come unto God. Brethren, I believe in our lives that God allows these things to take place to where there is no one to turn but to Him. There are times in our lives, no matter which direction we look, it seems as though nobody cares. And we cry out to God who always cares. Our Lord and Savior had an entire world against Him. And yet it was our Lord who cried out to His God, who in those moments, by the way, forsook Him. But may I remind you, up from the grave He did arise. His soul was not left in hell. He was brought forth to be our Redeemer, to be the one who is our Sustainer. God's extended mercy is always God's way of bringing the mouths of condemnation to those who are in the position of not being friendly, and bring requite upon them. The timing, by the way, will be God's, as He may be teaching us some valuable lesson while we are down. But God always has His purposes and His reasons. And I want you to notice most dramatically that though it refers, I believe, to the Lord Jesus Christ, though this one, though it be you, though it be others before us, though they were those who were good, those who sought to do the will of God, and they came to this position in their life, and it seemed as though everything was against them, they cried out to God. And I want you to notice, thanksgiving is given. I look at that, and there's one thought that comes to my mind. I do not know if deliverance was before or after this giving of thanks. For I believe very well it could have been a thanksgiving of faith. As he said, "By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. You may be down. You may be getting kicked. You may have all of those round about you that despise you. But understand something. In Christ, you are the victor. You're the victor. It doesn't matter what it seems like, you are the victor. Do you understand tonight? We are more than conquerors through Him. That is our guarantee. That is what we ought to be thankful for. And He says, I know this. He says, as for me, Thou that holdest me in mine integrity and settest me before Thy face forever. He had said previously, I'd sinned against Thee. But now He says, You uphold mine integrity. He knows the forgiving hand of God, and He knows God's keeping hand to him. And because God has lifted him up, he is now intact despite previous sin. Are you not glad that God casts your sin to the deepest sea? Are you not glad that God hides it as far as the east is from the west? Are you not glad that our God cannot remember your sin in the Lord Jesus Christ? He remembers it no more. This is God who knows everything. This is God who forgets not anything. But He has chosen to wipe the slate clean that you and I can be intact. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel from everlasting unto everlasting. It is this restoration by God that brings such wondrous praise from the lips of those who have been taken captive by sin. What a glorious God we have tonight. Amen. You might be in the throes of sin. You may be saved and you have sin in your life. But thank God you can confess it to God and He wipes it away and He gives you new life. There may be those who are harsh against you and they're pointing the finger. But our God is merciful. And He's ready to forgive and to throw it out. We've got a great God. Amen. The enemies may not throw it out, but God does. And God, He tells us here that He will requite us. He will make it as though it never had been. We've got a great God tonight. He's in the restoration process. We got a great God tonight because He wants to save us from that sin that horribly destroys us. We have a great God tonight. Can we see the thanks that ought to roll from our lips? I was taken tonight by a prayer that I heard. I think it was perhaps the second or third one that spoke. I'll give you the name. It was Julia. Many of you know that she has Alzheimer's. I was teasing I need to sit in the Alzheimer's section. By the way, we were talking about something wonderful about Alzheimer's. We forget the injustices people have against us. May we have that kind of Alzheimer's. Amen. But the night she prayed, she told me once here a few weeks ago or months ago, she said, sometimes when I pray, it's things that I have learned in the past. I don't know if it was a poem that you had heard. I don't know if those were your words. Those were your words. Amen. That makes it very precious to me because I heard those words as they were praised to God for His great goodness and mercy. It set the tone tonight for the prayer meeting. And that is what we have when we really recognize the goodness of our God. Can I suggest something? You're wrong. They were not flat. Okay? You might think so, but they were not flat. How many agree with me? Yeah. That is what God does. Amen. What a glorious God. Aren't we glad we can serve Him? Amen. He had the pointy fingers at you. Always do. And sometimes we wonder, why is it that's taken place? It's so we might recognize our Savior did. We've never had it like Him. And sometimes we wonder, why are all these things happening to me? Why is it it seems like I'm at the bottom of the barrel and it's all against me? Remember the psalm. There comes a time of praise. Remember, you can cry out to Him and He is there. He has promised that. How many believe tonight He will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Now we say it, but do we practice it? There is a difference. Let's practice it. Great God, amen? Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Father, I want to thank You for this tremendous psalm. Lord, I have no idea why You place this on my heart. I have no idea why the thoughts came. Maybe, Lord, there's just one person tonight needed to hear it. Maybe we all did. Lord, it's Your business. We leave it in Your hands. Lord, no doubt every one of us that know You as Savior have sat in this spot. No doubt we've wondered why. No doubt we've been in this situation where it seems like the forces of evil are about to overtake. But we have the wonderful privilege to cry out to You. You are our Melchizedek who is forever at the throne of grace. You are the one to whom we can always go and find help in the time of need. You are the one to whom, when we do, the praises seem to come forth as well. Oh, thank You, dear God, for that wonderful privilege. Perhaps tonight there's a heart that's been overwhelmed by the circumstances. Perhaps there's one here tonight that just needs to cry out to You. Perhaps they've cried out and they just need to praise You. Lord, maybe tonight they just need to see that our Savior has been there before us. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that You might work and meet whatever need there is tonight as we wait upon You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet tonight.